spine. It's getting hard to stand the heat, but even harder is the wondering. Is God's hand still on me? It's lonely in the flames when you're counting days of pain, but the potter knows the clay how much pressure it can take, how many times around the wheel, though they're sufficient to planned a beautiful design, but it'll take some fire and time. It's gonna be okay, 'cause the potter knows the clay. Friend, I just came through that. Not too very long ago, and looking back I can see why, and that my God was in control. But on the hardest days I cried, oh Lord, isn't it about time? How much pressure it can take, how many times around the wheel, till there's sufficient to His will, and a beautiful design, but it'll take some fire.
Ministering music. The song was for me. You know, it was for me too, Brother Tony, because in that battle you forget He does know. He said He wouldn't put more on you than you'd be able to bear, but with every way you'd make a way of escape. So Lord, help us to remember. Amen. I'm glad to have Him as my King. And for Him to be as faithful as He is. He goes well beyond our limits. Sometimes we try to put our limits on Him, but He goes well beyond that. There aren't limits with Him like what we would think. There's really no limits to Him anyway. If His blessing and a blessing is upon you, then He's going to bless. And when He corrects, well, nothing's going to stop that correction until it's done. But nevertheless, He knows the clay. He knows what we can handle. And so, get ready to change the service. We're coming to the end of the year. Getting ready to start a new year, and as I was sharing with the brothers, you know, we sometimes people make New Year's resolutions and that sort of thing. I'm not much of one for that. I don't know if I've ever made one, but because people, you know, we tend to just break whatever promises we make in ourselves, and whatever we resolve to do, maybe to lose weight, a lot of people do that, or whatever it may be, and why not? It just only lasts just a little while. Just turn over a leaf, well, it flips back over again, you know. But it's okay to use this time of year as a time to kind of hit the reset button and say, God, I'm going into this next year with a determination to surrender to You more. Because He's the one that really holds it and controls it. It's not us. And so there's we don't want to go into this next year trying to be us trying to do something, but just surrender more.
Amen.
And that's what we want to do. So anyway, as we come to the end of the year, we start the new one. Make your resolution. Make your determination to let God lead you and guide you more. And I feel like that a theme so far, what I've seen so far, what I feel the Holy Spirit moving and working with people, and I hear them talk, and I know He's dealing with me. I think if you was going to assign a theme to this next year right now, and I'm not much of one for that either, but I think it would be don't straddle the fence. Whatever you are, find your position and get there, because that's what I feel like the Lord is doing. And take your post of duty. Prepare for battle, you know, when it comes time to do it. Everybody has to go to their post of duty. And you know, in the military, you know, they all depend on one another. So we depend on each other. And so I just want to say that I appreciate each one of you. And I do feel the Lord is moving among us. I know Brother Daniel, Brother Tim, just seeing how the Lord handles things. We know the Holy Spirit is moving in the midst of this group to accomplish things and to get things done. And so we just want to surrender on Him and continue to let the Lord move and work with us. And not get in a hurry, just let the Lord do what He wants to do, how He wants to do it, and just you know, recognize His presence among us. But I just want to tell you, I do appreciate each of you. I appreciate your stand for the fact that you know God has something more for us, and to seek Him for that, and not stand for some just run-of-the-mill whatever. You know, let's be fervent and let's seek God for the fullness of this message He's given us. And so I want to tell you, and I haven't said this before, but if you don't have my phone number, if you don't know how to get in touch with me or whatever, then just let me know, because I want each of you to be able to contact me. We have to stick together. We're going to have some battles coming up. We know that as a group. And so I want you to know that you do have access to me. You have access to Brother Daniel if you need to anything that comes up, for prayer, for counsel, whatever it is. Don't try to go it alone. Okay? Don't try to go your battle alone. God has given you brothers and sisters that will help you in these times that you need. And so we, having said that, we want to change the service now and have Brother Daniel come. But you'll stand, and we'll let Brother Dean, if you will, brother, come and take the offering. And let's sing "More of You." I like that song because it's really, that's the way I feel inside. That I've had everything that I want in this world, but what I really need is more of Him.
Tell you what, I've been looking forward to coming to church all week this week. It's, ain't nothing like going to church. I remember I was at Sunday at a Louisiana camp one time, and I was coming from the parking lot, and I was walking up to the deal, and there's another couple that were walking up, and I said, you know what we get to do today? I said, what? I said, we get to go to church. And they said, hey, man. I'll tell you what, Saint, that's a privilege. It's a privilege coming to the house of the Lord. But you know what? Out there, that's Satan's eating. This is our eating. Man, we can come in here with other brothers and sisters of like precious faith, and you can talk, and they know what you're talking about. You know, like you hear a duck and a bunch of geese, you know, he can quack, quack, quack. They don't know what he's talking about. Well, let him give us some other ducks and start quacking. And like, quack, quack, I know exactly what you're saying. You know, we're just a bunch of oddballs that we
That's
are.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Let's just go ahead and open our Bibles to Philippians chapter 4, if you don't mind. We'll read Philippians 4, verses 7 through 9. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you.
Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, and Lord, we love you so much. Father, I'm so thankful for this opportunity to come and to be able to just to speak about you, Lord, and be in your presence around other brothers and sisters. Be in our midst, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You can be seated. So it won't be a distraction. I'll just go ahead and tell you. My shirt is wrinkly. My pants, I didn't run the lint brush over. So to get that completely out of the way. That way I ain't thinking about it and you ain't thinking about it. It's there. So let's just move that out of the way. I want to talk to you a little thought this morning. Claim your sanctuary. And I just want to read one small quote here just real quick. Father God, am I reading the right one? Give me just a second here. Here it is. Just as you expect, that's what you're going to get. But you come to the meeting and expecting to see the glory of God moving, the power of God, sinners being saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, sickness being healed, then watch what God shows you. Yes, sir. See, you are a creator in yourself. How many is born again? Amen. Do you know each one of you is a creator? You are a part of God. You're a son of God, an offspring of God, a daughter of God. Is that right? You believe that?
Amen.
Then you are a creator. Now, did you ever see people? They were nice people. I ain't saying this for any back now. Now, nice people, but you just couldn't hardly stand to be around them. You know that? Nice people, it's their atmosphere they're in. Then you've seen other people that you just long to be with them. Is that right? It's that atmosphere that's around them all that time. And Saints, I want to talk to you about claiming your sanctuary. And just kind of start with a little thought. I was the other morning this week, I woke up and just body pains in the back and all these things. And I took a ibuprofen and Malachi's come up and he said, you don't feel good, Daddy? I said, oh, I'm just a little sore this morning. And going on through the day, and it was just hurting. And he said, Daddy, why are you smiling all the time? He said, you said your back hurts. I said, that don't matter. I said, son, I said, it's going to hurt. I said, I've got two choices. I could either go around and talk about how bad my back hurts, or I can go on smiling and praising the Lord.
Yes.
I said, I choose to smile and praise the Lord. And he said, oh, okay. But you know what, saints of God, throughout the day, as I began to smile and praise the Lord, the back pain quit hurting. You know what it was, saints of God? I created an atmosphere, and I made a determination in myself. I am not going to let this thing run me. I'm going to run this thing.
Yeah.
Amen? And see, we as children of God, we have authority given us where we can create an atmosphere wherever we go. You know, I had mentioned this testimony before in my house whenever Elijah was just a baby. I feel good this morning. I just really... When Elijah was just a baby, I can remember that he always slept with us, and we sanctioned that part of the house off as my sanctuary and my prayer room. and saints, as we sanctioned that off, we would use that room for nothing but praying and seeking God. Other than that, we did not go to that room. We just kind of kicked him out of it and used it for that. And saints, I'm going to tell you something. God met us there. It was the presence of the Lord when you walk in that room. I had other brothers that come and visited me. I said, I want you to come with me. And Brother Tony's actually shared a testimony of another brother going through the deer woods. The exact same thing. I know exactly what that brother's talking about. We would sanction that room up and people would walk through there and said, this is amazing. I said, this is my sanctuary. But you know what, saints of God? Reason he would come there is because you sanctioned that off for him. And when you sanction something off for the Lord, he will meet you there, saints of God.
That's right.
And you know what? That's what we do with this sanctuary, is we sanction this off for prayer and worship to God. And when we do that, we come in his name, he comes in our midst. Is that right?
Well,
saints of God, it don't just stop here. It don't just stop at the bedroom. It's the living room, saints of God. It's the car when you're going to work. That's your sanctuary. And when you claim that is your sanctuary, God will meet you there.
Amen.
I'm thankful for that, saints of God, because I could be going down the road and I'll be so gone, I don't even know where I'm at, but it's just the Lord driving the car. You know, I'll just be thinking about the good things of God, and before too long, I'm like, how in the world did I get here? I don't even remember turning back here. Meditation on God's Word. I want to read a quote, or a scripture rather. And I've got quite a few scriptures, so you don't have to turn here, but you're sure welcome to. We're going to start in Numbers chapter 13, verses 27 through 33. And they told him and said, we come unto the land whither thou sendest, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. This is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. And the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants and the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, we were in our own sight. I want you to realize this. It says, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. See, these people were looking at the situation and they were looking at themselves and saying, I am smaller than they are. I'm a grasshopper compared to them. But see, what it was is they were looking at themselves in a way they shouldn't have looked at. If you look at yourself this morning, you'll say, I am unworthy to be the bride of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I am unworthy to overcome this obstacle. But see, you got to quit looking at yourself and look at the promise.
Right.
See, they had a promise from God's Word that wherever they go, God is going to meet the need. God's going to fight the battle because they go in the name of the Lord. And see, when you walk in the name of the Lord, saints of God, you've got God on your side.
Amen.
And see, that's what where the blessing is at, is when you have God on your side. You know what? You want blessings on your finances? Treat your finances in a way where God can bless it. Because when you do that, saints of God, I don't care what challenge comes, God will meet the need.
That's right.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I've seen it time and time again. You've got healing that you need to take place, saints of God. You commit it to God. Walk in and testify God has met the need. Watch God meet the need.
That's right. Man.
If you're fighting depression, saints of God, God can meet the need. Because you know what? We got a lot of Amalekites. We got a lot of these Alkites and Aites and all these different things. We've got all kinds of them this day. We've got depression. We've got backaches. We've got headaches. We've got divorces around us. We've got broken homes around us. We've got all these things, saints of God. Devil on every end. But you know what? We can claim this land, saints of God, because God has given it to us.
That's right.
And I don't care what the need is, if you will meet God and say, God, I'm coming your way. You have given a prophet in this day. You've shown us how to meet you. You've shown us how to approach you. God, I'm doing it exactly like that. And watch God meet the need.
Right.
I'm going to tell you, saints, the other night, my wife had to go take care of some things. It's just me and the kids at the house. And this is for you, sisters. I'm going to share something with you. I was there with just the kids, and in my mind, the devil began to just really bombard me, because I ache when I see souls that don't come to church, that I see missing seats.
Throughout the week, my heart's just heavy, and I'm praying, and I'm meditating like, God, what can I do to help them to come? Is there something else I can do, God? And in my mind, I was bombarded with it, and I was thinking, God, is there something I can do to be a better saint of God, a better minister, someone that can reach out and reach these souls, God? I want to see them at their full potential. Yeah. And in my mind, I was bombarded, saints, and I was thinking, God, what can I do? And I said, you know what, I'm going to go do the dishes. And I was over there doing the dishes. In my mind, I was so bombarded. And my kids were wanting something. I want a drink. I want something to eat. I want all these things. Your sister's ever been there? I say that because you're there, you're home more than we are. Saints, I was doing that, and I said, I'm going to do the dishes, and I just felt overwhelmed at the moment. And you know what? I put my hands on the sink, and I felt the Lord speak to me just like I'm speaking to you right now. He said, claim your sanctuary. The saints of God, I put my hands on the sink there. I said, God, I love the saints. I love my family. And Lord, I claim them right now in the name of Jesus Christ. I claim my home in the name of Jesus Christ. And I began to speak to the Lord, and I started doing the dishes. And you know what I began to hear, saints of God? My little daughter over there started singing a little song. And I just joined right in with her. I started singing that song right with her, saints of God. And my boys were singing, and they said, Daddy, you want us to go ahead and fold the laundry? I said, that'd be great. Over and they started doing the laundry. We began singing. We began creating an atmosphere in the home. Saints of God, we ended up having church. Amen. But see, where it comes from is one person taking their stand and saying, I claim it. Saints of God, if one person in one home can do that, how about one person in one church? If one person can come on fire with a determination in their heart, I claim this sanctuary. I claim the ground I'm stepping on. If one person will do it, saints of God, watch God move. But what about every one of us? Amen. If one person can do that, what about every one of us? If we will come with a determination in our heart that I'm going to see the presence of God today.
Amen.
I'm telling you, if we'll do that, saints of God, we'll have church.
Amen.
That's right.
You know what? I believe we should come with an expectation. Anytime we come to church, we should expect to see the supernatural take place.
Amen.
Amen. The greatest supernatural thing you can have is someone speak directly to your heart, and you know that minister knows nothing about it.
That's right.
Speak into your heart and get right in your tater patch.
Yeah.
Open your fields up. Let the Lord open. Let him dig. Amen. Brother Branham said in the greatest battle ever fought, he said, in this there is a mutual ground. No man's land, and they fight here at this place. They just don't fight over here and one down here and one right over here. There is a battlefront where they meet and test their powers, where each army tests its strength against the other army, a mutual meeting place. Now don't miss this. When this battle started on earth, there had to be a mutual meeting place. There had to be a place selected for the battle to begin. And for the battle to rage. And that battle begins in the human mind. There's where the battle starts. The human mind was chosen for the place of the battle where it was to begin. And that is because that's the decisions are made from the mind, the head. Now they never started from some organization. They never started from the mechanical affair. The grounds never started there. Therefore that organization can never do the work of God. Because the battleground where you've got to meet your enemy is in the mind. You've got to make your choice. It meets you. Then he says, I want this little girl that's very sick, you're sure to listen, now to listen real close. The battleground is in your mind, saints of God. Because it's right here is where it begins and how you're going to react to a situation.
That's right.
You can take something that will absolutely amount to absolutely nothing and turn it to a mountain hill real quick. Just because right here, you respond differently. And I'm going to share a testimony about because I think it kind of fits with what I'm going with. With my trailer, when I had the blowout here a while back. Did I tell you about the testimony? I can't remember. I thought I did. I couldn't remember. There was the testimony with the trailer, and I was going to go to the special meetings in Nova, Missouri. And I was wanting to go, and I ended up having a blowout with the trailer. And it was my dad's trailer, and the wheel was underneath all the brush, and it was chained up with a lock, and it was very frustrating. And I remember I called Brother Tony, because we were going to try to go to church together up there. I said, Brother, I'm not going to be able to make it, and he gave me some good wisdom. He said, Brother Daniel, just take a deep breath, pray. I'm going to pray. And we're going to believe that God's going to help you. Something to that effect. Sometimes that's all we need to do, saints of God, is just stop and take a deep breath.
That's right.
But see, that's where it started at, saints of God, is the right attitude in approaching the situation. Because I could have very well said, you know what? It may be God's, and it's all, it did come to my mind. Maybe God don't want me to just go to the meetings. Maybe it's because of the car wreck that happened. I don't know. In my mind, I was thinking that. How quick are we quick to think that, saints
that's
of God?
That's right.
Because obstacles start getting in the way. It's like, well, maybe it's just the Lord trying to tell you. No, the Lord wants you to come to His Word, saints of God.
That's right.
And He'll speak to you through His Word.
That's right.
And I Brother Tony said, just take a deep breath, Brother Daniel, and just pray, and I'm going to pray, and we're going to go. And saints of God, we had church that night. Amen? But it came with the right attitude, the right approach of meeting the situation. And Brother Brennan was talking about the battleground that fights in the mind. It's where it starts at. And you know what? We're not fighting a physical warfare. And I want to read the scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Have you ever noticed, saints, while you're in church, you feel wonderful. And you say you can defeat every devil. You're 10 foot tall and you're bulletproof. And it don't matter what it is, you've got it. And then you get inside your vehicle. I got to start walking. I feel like a chain back here. Time to be done. You get inside your vehicle and you start living down your life. And then all of a sudden, you're shrinking. And no longer you're 10 foot, you're 8 foot. And then you get, 30 more miles down the road, then you're 6 foot. And if you're short as my life, you're down to 4 foot. The farther you get away, the shorter you feel, and you don't feel quite as bulletproof. What is it? It's the atmosphere. We have such an atmosphere of faith because we expect God to move here. But see, we need to come to the point, Brother Tony, where we need to expect God to meet my need everywhere I go. Because my sanctuary is right here. And that means if I go to Sister Bernadine's house, I'm taking my sanctuary with me. If I go to Sister Catherine's house to visit Brother Tim, I'm taking my sanctuary with me. See, we can create an atmosphere everywhere we go. But a lot of times it's our attitude and the way we think about things. See, I've been at work, working at Williams Chevrolet. I start out my day. I go flip the compressors on and I start singing. I start praising the Lord, singing. And one of the guys at Swiss, he's a man from Russia, he worked there, and he came to me one day, and he said, "Man, why do you sing all the time?" He said, "You sing everywhere." I said, "I'm happy." He said, "Why are you so happy?" And I began to testify about what God does. I said, "I can't help it." I said, "Can you tell a dog to quit barking?" I said, "That's like telling a son of God quit worshiping the Lord. It just comes." And then he said, "Well," he said, "one thing about it, you're happy." Brother Brennan talked about that spring one time, and he said, "You know, it was just a bubbling." He said, "It's just bubbling." He said, "I can ask you, why are you so bubbly? Is it because the deer drink from you? No. Is it because the rabbit? No. Is it because I drink from you? No. It's just something on the inside of me just makes me bubble." Saints of God, that's the way it is with a Christian. We've got something on the inside, it just bubbles. And when it bubbles up, you don't even realize it. You'll just be going through your day and all of a sudden you say, "One of them, one of them. I'm so glad that I can say one of them. Bubble, bubble."
Yep.
You feel the presence of God bubbling inside you. Why? Because there's a life inside there. Amen?
Right.
There's a life inside there that's just aching to get out of this whole thing. Because you know what? It knows this ain't where it's going to be. It's got a good body coming real soon. It's going to flow right together. Because right now we have to swing this thing to come to church. Right now we have to swing this thing to serve God. Because it don't want to. But there's a bubbling. There's a song, "No Bubbling, I'm Bubbling." If I could sing, I'd sure sing that song. But you know what? It's something on the inside, saints of God. To me, that's the most amazing thing. When you go out in the woods and you see that spring coming, you see all that pretty clear water coming up. Where in the world does it all come from? It just happens. It just keeps coming up. I can't explain it, but it happens. And you know what? Same way it is with us. You serving the Lord, you're going through your daily walk, sister, and you've got something on the inside that just wants to serve God. I don't understand it. I can't explain it, but it's there. But you know what? You can take that same spring and you just pile a bunch of trash all over it and you can pollute that thing. Saints of God, it won't flow like it used to. You may get a little bit of water out of it, but it won't be like it used to. And it's the same way it is with a Christian.
Yes.
You know what? When you've got everything clear, you've got all the obstacles out of the way, that water can flow freely. But a lot of times we can allow trash to get in that way. And that trash begins to stop our well up, our spring up. And that water can't spring out like it used to. And saints, a lot of times the way the devil will begin to work on that is right here. Because you'll let a little thought come into your mind, a little bit of bitterness come towards somebody. Because somebody will say something that maybe you don't quite agree with. Maybe they cross you. Sometimes, if you want to see what will really hurt a lot of people, let somebody cross them one time. You say something what you believe, and somebody says something contrary to what you believe, and watch how fast some people get bitter over it. They didn't see things the way I do. Grow up. Amen?
Right.
Say, "Oh, damn, that's awful rude." Come on. Come on, saints of God. Let's grow up.
Right.
Let's be mature in the gospel. Right. Somebody says something wrong, pray for them. You know, ask God to forgive them, but keep moving forward.
Right.
But the devil will begin right there. Someone will say something that's contrary to what you believe, and you'll get bitter in your mind, and before too long, your heart's bitter. Before too long, you can't even pray because you're so bitter. Let gossip come in, and someone start talking about somebody else. You say, "Well, I don't ever say it," but do you listen to it? Saints of God, if gossip ever starts coming, don't even listen to that garbage. Because I'm going to tell you something. God will not inspire someone's heart to tear somebody else down and say, "Oh, we better pray for them." Saints of God, there's a way of talking about it. There's a way of gossiping about it too.
That's amen. Right, man. That's exactly right.
You know what? This thing right here, Brother Tony, I wasn't planning on going this way, but we're just going to go that way. This thing right here could be the most destructive thing in the world. Is your tongue. I see people piercing it, doing all kinds of things. That's damage, but that ain't near the damage that somebody does when they go to gossiping and talk about a bunch of things they don't need. You know, when I worked at Planters, they had a great policy. They said no complaining. They would not allow complaining. You know what they call complaining? It's whenever you're talking about something that's wrong, but you don't even have a solution about it. All you want to do is talk about what's wrong.
That's right.
I think we need to get a sign put on here saying no complaining. Amen. When the children of Israel were going through, whenever they were going through the wilderness, God was meeting need, feeding them manna, doing all these things. What did they start doing? Complaining. They started bickering and complaining at the prophet. Think about that. God was feeding them. He was providing for their shoes. He was doing all these things and began to complain. Saints of God, that's what hurt them so much. They began to complain instead of worshiping God and say, "Isn't God great? Look what God's doing in our midst. Look what God took us out of." Instead, a lot of them want to go right back to it. Complaining.
That's true.
I don't know why I went down that road. There's a little bit here.
That's all right.
That is right.
All right.
Saints of God, I want to read Scripture. First Corinthians chapter 10. "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither should you be idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written. People sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it." See, God was working in their midst, saints of God, and God was manifesting Himself in their midst. But instead of praising God for what He's doing, they're complaining about what He's not doing. See, God can, as I was saying earlier, as my boy was saying, "Why are you smiling? Your back's hurt." I could go the rest of my life and let that I couldn't go the rest of my life and allow that to tell me what I'm going to do throughout the day. But saints of God, you've got to swing that into subjection. You say, "But Brother Daniel, I'm not fighting back trouble. I'm fighting depression." Same thing, saints of God.
That's right.
You can let that depression rule your life every day, and you be unhappy every day, and you can complain about what you don't have. "I don't have this. I don't have that." What do you have? You got a good Savior that loves you. You got a church that loves you. You got a pastor that stands with the word. Saints of God, we got a lot to be thankful for this
morning.
That's
right. Amen.
You know what? If we would spend about the time, the much time as we do complaining, to worshiping God and praising God for what He's doing, we'd live a lot better life.
That's right.
You know what? People, I remember I used to have an old white car. Everybody remember that? I used to backfire all the time. I used to drive it at Fort Smith. And that thing was the biggest piece of junk you've ever seen. But you know what? It ran. We'd be going down the road, and Brother Timothy Miller comes to me one day. He said, Brother Daniel, he said, a man, he said, I won't tell you who it was. This man told me today, he said, I would almost love to go over and just buy that brother a brand new car. He says, but I would hate to do that. He said, because that brother has got a great testimony. He's always happy. Amen. I said, thank you, Lord. Because you know what? It's not the car that makes me happy, saints of God. I got a God that loves me. Amen. And see, you got some people, they got not only a God that loves them, plus they got a new car. Well, they're really rolling, ain't they? I remember I worked with a guy over at Flanders, and he was a color guy, and he was real loud like I am. We got along real good. He said, you know what? Some people, they get a new car, and it changes them. He said, they'll be gone. They're all down and all depressed and everything. They get a new car, and all of a sudden, it's, oh, yeah. Get the new fancy sunglasses on. Same person. It's got a different car.
Yeah.
It changes them. You know, some people, they'll be poor all their life. They hit the lottery or something. They hit it big, and all of a sudden, they're high rolling, you know.
Yeah.
Same person. But you know what? Something about a Christian, it does a little bit differently. A Christian will take somebody that's a little prideful, a little big, you know, a little too big to touch anybody. Let God touch you, he'll turn to a humble man. He'll change him. One of the richest pastors in Honduras, and I'm sure he won't mind me using him as a testimony. He's one of the richest men in Honduras, as far as pastors. And he was a very arrogant man. And even as he was in the ministry, very arrogant. He'll tell you, he was very arrogant. But saints, something happened one time. Some kidnappers actually kidnapped his wife. And took her out. And most times when they kidnap you, they're going to take their life regardless. And that man got desperate before God. And that man began to seek God and say, God, I'm so sorry. He began to look at how he had allowed all these things to change his character for who he wanted to be. And he said, God, I will give it all up. I'll give every bit of it up. And he said, Brother Daniel, he said, I would have died. He said, I was committed that I will give everything up. Only thing he wanted then was said, you know what? These things don't matter. The only thing I want is the presence of God, and I want my wife back. And God gave him his wife back completely fine.
Amen.
But it changed the man. And no longer did the man walk prideful. It made him humble. And saints of God, God has a way of correcting you, and he has a way of getting you where you needed to be. And I was talking to a man that called me early this morning. A man called me early this morning, crying in tears, and saying his family is all destroyed, and he don't know what to do. And I won't tell you who the man is, but I'm going to show you exactly what I showed him. I said, God will get your attention however he needs to. I said, if my boy was going to the fire and I know he's fixing to get burned, if I know he's going to, first, I'll holler at him. If that don't work, I'm going to rip his shirt off of him if I got to. If that don't work, saints, I'll break his armor if that's what it takes. But I will not let my boy go in the fire because I love him.
Yeah.
And though I would never want to hurt him, it would hurt him 10 times more when he got in the fire. And saints of God, God wants you to be in the presence of God. He wants you to be in His presence. He wants to bless you. He wants to meet every need. But saints of God, He'll tell you once. If you keep going, He'll rip the shirt off. If you keep going, He'll break your arm if He's got to.
That's right.
Because He loves you.
Yeah.
I would never... We got on this subject with my boys this morning. They said, Daddy, why is it some kids are so mean? They don't listen to their parents. They don't listen to nobody. I said, you know why that is? I said, it's because mommy and daddy don't like to spank. Mommy don't like to spank. I said, things will begin to go wrong and they do something wrong. I said, why don't you think back when y'all were real little? What was the first thing we done when you started doing something wrong when you was a little fella? We said, no, no, no. I said, that's all it was because you were too little to really get spanked. It was no, no, no. I said, but for too long you got a little bit bigger, you should know a little better. It's going to be tap, tap, tap. As you get a little bit older, you start doing something wrong, it's going to be a lot better than that. You're going to get a good spanking. I said, but as you get older, we don't have to follow you around with the belt, do we? They said, no. I said, when you go to Walmart, Daddy don't have to walk around carrying his belt, do I? No. I said, why? Because you know what's expected of you. You know there's a way you can act and Daddy's going to bless you. Daddy's going to give good things to you.
That's right.
But you also know the way you act, you're going to get a whipping of a lifetime when you get home.
That's right. Think about it.
Serving God, you said, we're the bride, we're not under the law. There's the law that says a schoolmaster, saints of God, and that law keeps you, teaches you your boundaries. And it teaches you, after a while, you learn, if I go this certain way, I'm going to get a good whipping. Because bad things are going to happen. If I go this way, things are going to be bad. But if I listen, I've been taught. And as I said, the scriptures, as I read earlier, all these things were for examples. We've seen in the scriptures are examples of things that happen and they get a whipping for it. And they got a bad one. But see, as long as they would listen to that voice and follow that, God would bless them. See, I want to bless my children. I want to bless them more than anything. And I have to stop my blessings to give them a whipping. And then afterwards, in my heart, I'll have to go a long time in my heart. I'm having to say, God, I did not want to do that. Any fathers that have ever been there, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You say, I hated it. I didn't want to do it, but I did it because I love it. A father that will correct his children is teaching them the right way. Because if you don't do that, fathers, you'll hurt them in the long run.
That's right. That's true.
Because what will happen is right now, they're disrespectful. Right now, they're doing these things. Later on, it's a higher authority. It's a higher thing. And next time, and right now, you can stop it with a spanking. Before too long, you'll be jail. It's further out. I don't know why I'm going this way, but saints of God, I'm going right here. And I know exactly the Lord's speaking right to you.
Right. Amen.
If we'll be obedient to the Lord, saints of God, it's unlimited what we can do in this house, in your own house. I mentioned before about that old dog. I knew that dog was there. My dad's dog. And my dad told me, don't go around it. He told me not to. He warned me. And saints, I went by that same old fence a lot of times and never got hurt. But one day, it got me, saints of God. It's not the 100 times you go by, you don't get hurt.
That's right.
It's the one time you do get hurt. I'm speaking right from my heart, saints. Satan has got a punch coming. Mm-hmm. I want you to listen to me. If you've ever listened to me, listen to me right now. Because I'm telling you, Satan has got a punch coming. And you need to make sure you're doing things right, saints.
Yes.
You need to make sure in your home you're doing things right. Yeah. That home, that school that got shot up the other day, all them 6 and 7 year old kids, every time I think about it, my heart just crushes. It's babies. And they were just going to school. And they were just living their life the way they were supposed to. And Satan, as a roaring lion, was seeking whom he may devour. And that little coward goes after a little bit of children. That's the kind of enemy we're fighting, saints. We're fighting the devil. He doesn't go after the strong ones. He goes after the weak ones. That's who he goes after. If you look at a lion, I remember when I was little, I hated watching them. I'd watch a little bit and cover my eyes. I'd watch a little bit and cover with my eyes. I remember being at my grandma's house, and she'd always watch those lion movies and with animals. And he'd watch this lion going after a pack of zebras. And when this lion would come after those zebras, he would not go after the strongest one. He'd go after the weakest one of the flock. He'd go after the one that was sickest. And that's the one he'd devour. And saints of God, I want you to remember, Brother Tony said, we are a family here. And you know what? And you're fighting battles. You need to remember that. You're not fighting this battle alone. You've got brothers and sisters that are ready to pray. You got brothers and sisters that are ready to fight the battle with you. But the devil wants to single you out all by yourself. Mm-hmm. And when he gets you by yourself, he can have his way with you.
That's right.
We're fighting a devil that don't want to fight man to man. He wants to go for a little bitty kid or a little bitty girl. If you've ever listened to anything I'm saying, saints of God, listen to me right now. It's a sober thought. Satan has got a punch coming. Lord woke me up in the middle of the night here the other night. And it just kept coming to me. I said, God, what can I do? What can I do to alarm the people? We're living in a day where I've actually got people coming to me and saying, my children are abused because they don't get to go to the theaters. My children are abused because I don't allow them to go all these worldly entertainments. I'm abused because they're abused because of all these things. We're living in a day, saints of God, more than ever, where they're saying evil is good and good is evil.
That's right.
We're living in a day now, saints of God, where whenever you're standing for truth, people are saying it's against the law. One of the last times I preached at the park, I was actually spoken to a police officer, you need to be careful because you're right on borderline. Speaking about homosexuality. Speaking about living a righteous life because you're stepping on other people's rights. I have a right, saints of God. You have a right to allow anything you want in your home. You have a right when you're going down the road to listen to anything you want to listen to. You have a right to raise your children any way you want to. You have a right to come to church or not come to church. You have a right to do all these things, but a Christian will surrender those rights. A sheep surrenders his rights, saints of God. I choose to serve the Lord. I choose to claim my sanctuary. I choose to claim my church. It's a choice, saints of God. You can make a choice whether you're going to serve God or not. You make a choice whether I'm going to get up and pray or not. When you make a conscious effort from your heart and say, you know what, I am doing this for the Lord. I'm standing for the Lord today. I'm setting the example for my children today. It's a choice, saints of God. It's a conscious effort. And when you do that, saints of God, God will bless you. You go through some of these things, it gets kind of dry, kind of hard, but I think it needs spoken, saints of God. In Jairus' Divine Healing, Brother Graham says this. He says, and we ought to get ourselves in that kind of an atmosphere. Create each one of you is a creator. Did you know that? Each one of you people that's born again is a creator. You must create an atmosphere, as I said the other night. Sometimes when I'm in the home and the wife is all the people in and out and just going all the time, I'd go in and my wife's standing there wiping her eyes, crying. I said, Bill, the children hasn't even ate a bite today. The house is packed and jammed. There, little Sarah, my little two-year-old girl, sitting in there, she's crying. Rebecca come in from school. Why? My wife all nervous. You ever notice that? That's exactly, if you listen to the prayer lines, one of the greatest prayer requests you'll ever get out of all the others is a nervous condition.
Yeah.
You've got a nervous condition. Has got that atmosphere there, see? That's what it is. Well, I don't tell you, she's not there here tonight, and I don't really want to risk that. Saints of God, the devil wants to make us a nervous condition. A nervous wreck. And mothers, I'm telling you, when the devil starts doing that, you can create an atmosphere and take control. You can begin to do exactly as I said, and you take time and you stop and you say, Lord, I'm praying now. I'm going to ask you to give me the strength to take over this place. Create an atmosphere in this home. Because I'm telling you, when you do that, sisters, you've got to move on your side. You ever notice how you'll have a great minister coming through? I say great minister, but a great name that's coming through. And all of a sudden, your expectations leap up for joy because you're expecting God to move.
Right.
And you can go and hear this brother preach, and he'll say the exact same thing your pastor's been saying all along. Sometimes word for word. Yeah. He'll say the exact same word, and you'll say, wasn't that a brilliant service? God really spoke, and he did. But what is it? Your expectation. You expected God to speak to your heart, and God did speak to your heart.
Right.
Sometimes I wonder if when God speaks, it falls on deaf ears. Because we let it get common to us, saints of God.
Right.
No, one more quote. I usually don't read as many quotes, but this... I really feel like God wants me to speak these to you. And this is from Hear Ye Him. That isn't so with Jesus. No matter how little you do, He knows everything that you do. It's recorded in heaven. Just as much for your account that is Billy Graham's or Oral Roberts or any of the rest of them that his great meetings. It's not the great big things sometimes we do. It's the little things we leave undone. Now, Jesus is no respecter of groups. Jesus met in all kinds of groups, all sizes, and all walks of life. One time, we have a record of him meeting with 500, sometime with 1,000. One time, see him with 12, sometime once with 3, and even to 1. No matter the size of group, the main thing is Jesus is there to meet with that group. No matter how small your church is or how large it is, how many you preach to, the question is, are you so committed to God that Jesus meets you in your company? Are you committed, saints of God? Are you committed to seeing the presence of the Lord move in your life? Saints of God, that's what we need, is men of commitment. Sisters of commitment that say, you know what, winds come, hell come, it don't matter, I'm talking about the hell out there, well, hell's coming too. I'm committed to stand my ground. Won't we all stand at your feet, saints of God? Saints, let's commit ourselves that, you know what, no matter what happens, I am standing my ground. Don't let bitterness come into your heart. Because I'm telling you what, Satan would love to have schisms in this body. He would love to have a little bitterness where this happens, and get you where you see all that's wrong. You know what? Why Adam and Eve, why they lived so victorious? Number one, we see Adam was the Word. But the other thing was, is at that time they were covered by a holy veil, and they saw exactly what God wanted them to see. And that's all they seen, saints. They seen exactly what God wanted to see and nothing else. And see, that's what God wants to give us back to today. Where we see things the way God looks at them. Well, you look at your situation the way God looks at it. That man I was talking to on the phone this morning, he said, my family's destroyed. He said, what am I going to do? He said, all of these things. I said, man, you're looking at the wrong thing. He said, you're looking at the storm. I said, look to God. Look to God and watch God bring this thing back.
That's right.
You know what? The devil wants you to quit looking at the promise and look at the problem. And when you begin looking at that problem, your faith will doubt, you'll doubt, you'll doubt, you'll doubt. So a lot of saints come up here for prayer and praying for your loved ones. You say, I want my loved one to come in. Saints of God, look to that promise and that promise alone. And walk toward that promise. And say, I believe it. I believe it to be so. They're going to come. I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. Saints of God, He'll come.
Amen.
It was a service just like this one. Not a whole lot of shouting, not a whole lot of this. It was a service just like this one, saints of God. Whenever I committed my family to the Lord. And I said, God, I ask you to speak to my family's hearts. I ask you to speak to their heart and bring a genuine repentance. Saints of God, during that meeting and during that service, it was a quiet service, not a whole lot going on. But I committed it to God. And the very next day, we had a youth service. I committed it to the Lord. Not the next day, the following day. I committed it to God, and I said, God, I commit it to you. I don't feel anything. I don't see anything. I'm believing it. I'm speaking it, and it's going to happen. I committed to that God, that night, saints of God. And late at night, one night, Sister Bernadine came to my house with a lot of questions. And she was drilling me pretty hard. And at any other time, I'd have been really scared. But the Lord always meets you before. And she said, well, you said, I've heard you believe this. I said, yeah, it's right here. She's, yeah, but I heard you believe. I said, it's right here. All these different questions. She was drilling me hard. But the Lord is mindful of His children. He said, what about this? He put my Bible, it's right here. I said, oh, okay. Well, she ended up leaving, and we pray, and we pray fervently. They said, God, I committed my family to you. I believe it. I am believing it. Very next day, Brother Tony, you were there. Sister Lisa, I think you were there. The Roberts girls were there. We had a youth service in my house in Poto. We were sitting in the living room in nothing but old chairs, old ragged furniture. But it's my furniture. My wife's furniture. By golly. That's what I tell people. You know, come to my house, they sit down, they're afraid to touch anything. I say, that's my furniture. It's clean. Sit down. I like it when someone come to my house and eat my food sitting on my table. Amen? Yeah. I serve a God that's not too big for that. He'll come.
Right.
Eat off my fork.
Praise God.
Amen? We serve a God that's not too big for that, saints of God. He'll come right to where you're sitting. And we were sitting there and we gave a prayer request. How many remembers this? Brother Tony, you remember that? It was a Saturday morning, I believe it was. We had a youth service there. And I said, I had an aunt that come by here last night. I said, and we talked scriptures with her. I said, we're going to pray for her right now. Ask God to speak to her heart. And we had prayer, saints of God. We start praying, and when we said, amen, the phone rang. And as soon as that phone rang, Sister Bernie said, Brother Daniel, it ain't nothing but the truth. And she's crying, and she said, I'm going to Walmart right now, getting me some dresses. I said, praise the Lord! We had a testimony just like that here a couple of weekends ago. We was at Brother Tim's house, and we were sitting there talking, and they're talking about her Sister Catherine's mother. And said, you know what, we're going to pray that, we're just going to have prayer. And I said, in the prayer, we said, God, I ask you to speak to her heart right now and convict her heart to want to come. And we said, amen. And the phone rang. Is that right?
Yeah.
Saints of God, that happened here. That didn't happen in Cloverdale, by the way.
Right, that's right.
That didn't happen in Happy Valley.
Right.
That didn't happen in Noel, Missouri. That happened here, saints of God.
That's right.
See, I did. Go ahead and sit down. We're going to go ahead and just go a little longer. Just a few minutes. Just a few more minutes. Y'all needed to get some blood flowing anyway. We were doing an essay here a while back, and in this essay, just a few more minutes. In this essay, we're talking about this man. He said, and I bet he got tapping into something that the supernatural. He said, people are always looking for something way over here. He said, they're always trying to move because they're always expecting God, or he didn't say God, he said something great to happen, but it's going to happen over there. I'm expecting something to happen, but it's going to be over here. He said, and they'll go their whole life expecting right. something to happen, and they're constantly chasing it. And the man said, if they would just sit still, it would happen right there. Right where they're at, saints of God. And you know what? I'm expecting God to move. But you know what? I'm expecting God to move right here. And then when I go home, I'm expecting God to move right here.
That's right.
Expect God to move wherever you're at. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Wherever you're at, expect it to happen. I asked Brother Gary here a while back. I said, Brother Gary, what time is it? And Brother Gary said something like 10 o'clock or something like that. I said, what should I expect him to say? What time it is? Why? I asked him what time it is.
That's right.
If I asked Brother Tony, I want your coat, brother. I should expect him to give me his coat. I don't want it. But if I ask him for his coat, I should expect him to give me that coat. If I ask his brother, I want your shoes, I should expect him to give me his shoes. If you ask God for something, you should expect God to give you exactly what you ask for.
That's right.
If it's according to his word and you're not asking amiss, you should believe God's going to give it to you. Just as simple as I asked that brother for his coat. I'm telling you, I believe if you will get serious with God right now, and I feel God nailing it down right now.
Yeah.
If you ask God to meet your need, I believe God will meet it today. God will meet the need, saints of God. Brother Graham talked about a woman one time. They went for prayer, and she had cancer. Prayed for the woman, and she started walking out, but the cancer was still there. You know what she did? She went on believing God and saying, I'm healed. And she went right off that stage, went on home, and started confessing, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed. And weeks went by, I think, and to a point, same woman testified, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed. One day, saints of God, that cancer fell right off her body. Why was it? She kept confessing, she accepted it, she said, God, I believe your word. That's what God wants, you to believe it. Simply believe it. Don't say you're believing, believe it. My wife says, I want you to be here at 10 o'clock. I'm going to be there at 10 o'clock. I'm going to be there, saints of God. Why? She asked me for it. She said, if she asked me for it, I'm going to do everything in my willpower to give it to her. Why? Because she's asking a good thing. She's asking for something she needs. She needs me to be there, to care for her, to take care of her. She needs me there. And I'm telling you something, as the bride of Jesus Christ, you've got a need, ask Him. Ask Him for it. And when it's something you need, you say, God, I want my loved ones. I want my sons and I want my daughters in. I want my children in. I want this. I need that, God. Ask right. You watch God give it to you. The same way my boy, if he was cold and he needed some clothes, he said, Daddy, I'm cold. All he's got to do is say the word. And Daddy's going to be there to meet the need. Yeah. I'm going to be there. Why? Because he needs it, saints of God. You know what? You say, Brother Daniel, I need more of God in my life. I need more of anointing in my life. You need it, saints of God? Ask for it. Ask for it this morning. And say, God, I need it this morning. I want the anointing, the fire of God again, to where whenever I'm walking this life, I've got fervency in my life again. There ain't nothing like a good marriage. You take a good marriage, sense of God, whenever things are going good, and you're doing the small things, you're doing these, there ain't nothing like it. But you take a marriage that's chaotic inside, sense of God, that's not life. That's not a life, sense of God. We need to have fervency. Fervency in this walk. We've got Brother Miller there in the hospital. Saints of God, I believe we can commit it to God and see a full recovery. Yeah. Not one inch less.
That's right.
Not one inch. I want you to commit one thing right now in your heart. You say, God, I need this. Commit it to Him. You say, Brother Dan, you sound awful big. I got a big dog. You take something you've been struggling and you commit it to God this morning. And you say, God, I'm committing it to you this morning. You yourself, you commit it to God this morning. And you watch God meet the need. You got a loved one? Claim Him this morning. You got body aches? Claim Him this morning. Everybody claims your need? Stand up to your feet. You say, Brother Daniel, this don't happen. They're sure going to be coming at you. Saints of God, I am serving a big God. In the same way I was saying here a while back, you get a stain cleaner that works. It takes out stains. You ain't afraid of it. You ain't afraid of that stain cleaner. Bring the stains.
That's right.
My machine's ready. I got the cleaner. I got the cleaner. I'm telling you what, this thing cleans, saints of God.
Yeah.
You take ink, you pour in that bleach, it's going to go all the way white.
That's right.
And you take whatever need you've got right now. And you commit it to this right here. And we agree with it. You watch God meet the need. You know, I think we need to... Sometimes we get afraid that God's... What if God don't answer the prayer? Who cares about it? Get that. Devil, get out of here. God said it. I believe it. That's all. I'm going to ask everybody to just bow your heads. Saints of God, I want you to commit this before God today. If you need more of God in your home, if you want your loved ones saved, you say, Brother Daniel, I just prayed yesterday. Let's pray again today.
Amen.
Saints of God, I want you to come to the full potential of Jesus Christ this morning. And there ain't no reason why you can't have it. I'm going to ask you, just if you're close to somebody, just take them by the hand. We're going to sing a song. And just keep your head back. Go ahead, brother. Saints of God, I want you to commit it to God this morning. There are needs among us that are legit needs. There's people that are struggling. They've got this battle. And it seems like they're trying to get over it. They're trying to get over it. But it's like as soon as they start to get the victory, they're back and they'll slid right back down again. Saints of God, I want to commit it this morning. There's victory. There's total victory. Sing that song. He is here, brother. I'm expecting nothing less than God to meet every single prayer. Let's sing this song together. He is here.
He is here.
Father, we come to you right now. And
In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. And Father, we're standing our ground this morning, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we are claiming our sanctuary, Father. Lord, wherever we go, Father, it's our sanctuary, God, that we are committing it to you, O God. Lord, I'm asking you, you'll break every chain that tries to bind us this morning, O God. Lord, may there be liberty in every heart, Lord Jesus. Every demonic spirit that would try to beat their minds, Lord. Lord, and make them feel down and burdened, Lord. We commit it to you right now, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, I ask you, Lord. Walk the aisles, Lord Jesus, that we may touch the hem of your garment, Lord. Lord, may the chains fall this morning, Lord. Father, as we are looking to you, the promise of this word, O God. And Lord Jesus, we know that greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world. Lord, I'm asking you, Father, you'll break every chain, Lord. Lord, walk the aisles, Lord Jesus. Lord, I ask you, give us a total faith this morning. Lord, in the word of God, Lord, that we can claim the promise this morning, Lord Jesus. We love you, Lord. We accept it, oh God. Hallelujah. Fighting something, you say, you know what, Brother Daniel, I would appreciate if the church would pray with me about this situation. We're going to welcome you to come forth. If there's something you want to say, we're going to believe that every need is met now.
Amen.
Is every heart clear?
Yeah.
Saints of God, if there's anything hanging on, right now is the time. Say, you know what, I'm not there yet, Brother Daniel, I want it. Saints of God, right now. Because after we leave today, we're going to expect God to meet every single need. Amen?
Amen.
We're going to believe it. If anybody else needs prayer, we're going to welcome you to come forth.
Thank you.
mighty of the prophets, Lord, you know, Father. Lord Jesus, I'm asking you, Father, if you will touch this person. Lord, may her home, God, inside, Lord, would you bring such a love inside the home, Lord? Such a love in this sister's heart for you, Lord, that she can renew her vows to you, Lord, this morning, Lord. Lord, I'm asking, as the scripture says, that the husband be saved by the conversation of the wife. Lord, I'm asking you, Lord, you give her a double portion this morning, Lord. That the Shekinah glory would be with her everywhere she goes, Lord Jesus. Lord, would you bring such a revival in her heart, Lord? Lord, we commit it, Lord. We ask you to conquer everything in her life, Lord Jesus. We love you, Lord. We commit it to you, Lord Jesus. We love you, Jesus Christ. Brother, right now, Father. Oh, Heavenly Father, meet his need, oh God. I'm asking you, Lord, the love of God will be so real to him, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' precious name. Hallelujah.
We're
Put your trust in him, saints.
Amen.
And claim your sanctuary. Amen. you know, a lot of times minister gets up and preaches and he'll go through all these different things and you'll say, I could have used that this last week. And I could have used that this last week. But sometimes, saints, you'll also find that the minister speaks on something and you can say, that's exactly what I used this week. And that's exactly what I use this week.
Right.
It goes both ways. But nevertheless, what I'm saying is God is showing you that He meets you in your battle, and He's there to help you with that. And so, Brother Daniel, preaching on this, claim your sanctuary. You know, Brother Bram, he used the phrase, how was it? Goes, no law but love, no creed but Christ, no book but the Bible. I don't know everything to it, but one portion he said, and the world is my parish. And so Brother Daniel's right. Wherever you go, you take that sanctuary with you. You take that presence of God with you.
Amen.
And I know, you know, the world, like the people you work with, they're going to say, well, I don't want you coming around here with your religion and stuff like that. But, you know, the last time I checked, light displaces darkness.
Amen.
And so you don't have to ask them. You just get in their space with your gospel. Take your holy sanctuary, the presence of God around you, and you go invade their space. And take light and displace darkness. They may not want it, but you do it anyway. And so you just take your faith and your belief, and, you know, because what? A city that's set on a hill can't be hid. You don't take a light and put it under a bushel. That's not what you do it for. You don't light a candle and then hide it. Right? So the gospel is to be lived. So take it, and like he said, you go and you claim whatever's yours. You know, he's talking different things, and like this morning, got up and I said good morning to Ben and asked him how he's doing. He said, how are you doing? And you remember whenever I finished telling the rest of it, and I said, well, you know, in myself, I'm not too good. There's not much to it, you know. I said, but I have a Savior.
Right.
He's wonderful and He's great. And He's blessed me, and so because of that, I'm doing fine.
Amen.
God.
You see, and that's, I could say, well, I'm a grasshopper. There's not much to me. But don't do that. You take the blessings of God and take what He's given you and count those blessings and go around and be positive and speaking of the things that God has done for you, not the things you think He should do and hasn't done or whatever. And so you do that. Take it wherever you go. I was at work this week, and I have a guy that works for me. He's Mormon. You know, there's quite a clash between what we believe and what they believe. And I know he's had many heated discussions with different people of different beliefs or whatever. But he sees something in me, I guess, that isn't offensive. I tell him what we believe. I share with him the same gospel I share with you. But I do it in a way that he'll listen to me. And he looks at me and you say, well, he's totally, you know, maybe. But I believe that our life is to bless even those people that aren't going to be part of bride, even people that's not going to go in rapture. Maybe they're going to be foolish virgin, and maybe they're not at all. But I believe our life is to bless those that are around us. And even though he believes something totally different, I present the same gospel that I present to you. I do it in a way that he will listen to it, and he counts me as a brother. He has said to me, whatever he believes, he said to me, he looks forward to being with me over there. So he sees something enough to think, you know what? And so he's not offended. And so this week, Brother Daniel's talking about counting the blessings. Well, I was at work, and I was working in a room by myself, and it's kind of an echoey. But it's real good for singing in there. You might not sound very good, but in that room it sounds good to me anyway. So I was in there working, and he was working in another room. You know, and there's very large doors that goes into this other room. And I'm just in there, and I start singing. Count your blessings, name them one by one. And I hear him, he's off out there. Count your blessings, see what God has done. So I'm singing one part, he sings the other part. You know, and so people can think, you're doing that at work? Well, yeah.
Amen.
Because that's my parish.
Amen.
Let the gospel, I mean, I'm not here to be a supervisor over a lab or be a technician or whatever. That's not my primary job. That's just what God's given me to do to make a living right now. My primary function is to live the gospel.
Amen.
To live the gospel and express that to others and cause my life to cause them to want to come to what I have. And so take it to them. But Brother Daniel's right. And I've recently, this is something that has really become a reality to me. And that is that take a solution to them. Don't ever go to someone and go to criticize or go and to bring a problem, you know, and point out problems unless you bring a solution.
Amen.
If you don't have a solution, then keep quiet until you do have a solution.
Amen.
And just keep praying, and then God will give you the solution. And so if you have the right attitude, he's obligated to do that. And so we thank the Lord for what he had to say this morning through Brother Daniel. There was a lot of things that I've experienced this last week and even yesterday that Brother Daniel was just, you know, rehearsing things, conversation had with people yesterday. And it was just exactly, so I know that the Lord is speaking. And I think that we've got victories ahead. I know we do. And if you'll believe it, how many's going to go today from this place and what you claimed this morning, what you put before the Lord? You thought it, you put it before him now. And Brother Branham said that in heaven, your thoughts speak louder than words, right?
That's right.
So, you know, just over the loudspeaker in the presence of Almighty God, your need was spoken.
Amen.
Now you go from this place and you start thanking God for that. And you start expecting that. Expecting God. And that's even scriptural. If you want to ask for a piece of bread, you're going to give them a stone. Or if you know, Jesus talked about that. So you ask your Heavenly Father the things that you have need of, and he will give it to you, what you have. But Daniel, Brother Daniel is right. You have to ask it, not amiss. Don't ask it for your own lust or something like that. But you'd ask the right thing, and God will give it. Amen. So this is the last service for this year. It's been an interesting year, but I also feel like that we have been blessed. I know I have been blessed greatly.
I have too.
And thank you, brother. God inhabits the praises of his people.
Yeah.
And you know, it's if you'll start praising him, I think Brother Branham said it this way: you'll just start praising him a little bit, see if he don't come and do something for you. He will. And so we want to go, and everything we do in the name of Jesus Christ. If we talk, we talk in the name. This is the way it should be. If we read, we read in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When we eat, when we sleep, when we drive, it should all be in the name of what? In the name to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that sounds ridiculous but to some people, but not to us, it doesn't. We do everything, all we do in word or deed, do in the name of Jesus Christ. That also means baptism. Simple scripture. But so as we get ready to leave, we'll bow our hearts and just pray and ask the Lord's blessings upon everyone as they travel. Someone's going to be going to meetings in Bali. So let's just bow our hearts to him. Lord, it's been good to be in your house this morning. Lord, just to see how that the enemy has worked hours and maybe days prior to today's service, how he would try to hinder and cause people to not have a right attitude of coming and maybe want to sit at home or maybe be sick or whatever it may be. But Lord, just to see you come and bless, open up your word and let your presence come and minister to our hearts, we thank you for that, Lord. And as we go from this place today, we ask, God, that you just let your blessings be upon our travel. Let graces be upon us, Lord. And as we come into this new year, we pray, God, that each one of us will have a determination, as we spoke earlier, Lord, just to surrender to you in a greater way. Lord, that you could live your life through us at a greater capacity than in times past. We ask, Lord, that you just be with each one bless those that are not here today, that for whatever reason, if they're sick or discouraged, whatever it is, those, Lord, that maybe has been among us and isn't now and hasn't for a while, we just pronounce your blessings upon them in the name of Jesus Christ. We send your presence to them to draw them, bring clarity to their walk so that they know their post of duty and how to return to it, Lord. We ask that you just do these things as we go from this place. Let your presence go with us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. And you're dismissed. Amen.
In the name of Jesus.